You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Hey, welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Primetime on a Thursday afternoon. How's it going, Peter?
It's going all right.
Our guest Justin Swallow's there. How you doing, Justin?
Good. Good to be back.
Glad to have you back, man. We had a big night last night, huh?
Yeah.
We had Mark Platt and Lisa Nimzo in
Mr.
here.
Mr. Platt, too. I just love saying that. Mark and the Platitudes.
Mark and the Platitudes, exactly.
So I guess the Platitudes were in here. Mark was.
Mark was here.
Mark and Lisa.
And played some in-studio stuff, and his EP was released today.
Oh, okay.
So those of you got a chance to check it out. If not, it's in the archives, but go get that EP. It's CD Baby, and 25% goes to Tuesday's Children.
I think that's what it's called.
It's a nonprofit, children survivors of 9/11, right?
Right, yeah.
So,
might have the name wrong, but that's definitely what they do.
Yeah, exactly. So check them out. And get a chance to support that, and it's a good EP. Got some cool songs on there. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, he's a really really talented songwriter.
Yeah,
and obviously Lisa brings something to the table there that he would otherwise be lacking, which he makes no bones about. So that's kind of funny.
How's your morning going so far?
Yeah, you know, busy. Still trying to solve that. Or now I'm just trying to catch up with all that mail that finally arrived.
Yeah.
So going sorting through. And when you don't get 3 weeks of mail, the post office finds it all of a sudden. There's some work to be done. I was doing that this morning. But other than that, just got to get back into the whole rhythm of the school thing. You know, kids being in school and all that. It's got its own challenges.
Yeah.
You know?
Whole other time challenges and everything else. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break and come back and introduce Justin to those who don't know him and bring him back to those who do, and find out what's happening with him. You listen to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network. We're going to listen to one from Justin. This is called A Simple Song. We'll be back after this.
Crying on the floor, drinking whiskey from a glass, I was an awful mess. You called me on the phone, I was drunk off my ass. You made me get dressed, and oh, what a thing you did. You saved my life when I thought I'd need death. If you're hurting, sing a simple song. If there's no purpose, you can make your own. And if you're hurting, sing a simple song. Thank you. life, give me death. I don't wanna mix the two. That's a heavy load. Come heaven or come hell, it's a loaded crapshoot. Cause I'll never know, and heaven knows. I've tried to reconcile what's in my head, what's down that lonesome aisle. If you're hurting, sing a simple song. If there's no purpose, you can make your own. And if you're hurting, sing a simple song.
Listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, there's a sharp hole in the wall, and you're listening to Swirl.
And welcome back to Swoop's Rope Primetime, where we're interactive, live, and archived. You can always like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download anything we have off of iTunes for free. All archives are also on swoopsworld.com. If you want to send us an email, it's swoopsworld@gmail.com. Our guest today is Justin Swallow. How you doing, Justin?
Doing good. How you doing?
Great, man. Great. Good. It's been a few months since we last talked to you, but for those who don't know you, you're originally from Texas.
Right.
And you moved out to Orange County here. And doing a lot of songwriting, so tell us a little bit about all that.
The last time I was here, I was promoting my West Coast tour. It was the first tour that I've ever been on, and that went pretty well. Played shows from San Diego up to Seattle, and ever since then, I've just been finishing up my full-length album, which comes out tomorrow on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, JustinSwallow.com. I've just been working a lot of my day job and doing the music thing. So
yeah,
that's pretty much what I've been.
It's a busy schedule, isn't it?
Yeah.
when you did your tour up to Seattle and down, how'd you find that with the, you're hitting different cities, different vibes, stuff like that? Was it well received?
Overall, I mean, I've certainly more well received around here since I've played a lot of shows around here. But once I, the more north I went, the smaller the crowds got because they've never heard of me. But that's the kind of the name of the game. I just got to keep doing it,
yeah.
Keep playing shows, and that's what I plan to do with this album is to tour next month. Still working on that though.
Yeah. How many cities did you go to on this?
Seven. Yeah, kind of up, yeah, just all the way up the coast. Yeah.
Did you have a favorite?
I like Seattle. I mean, the show was good, but I mean, it wasn't. I like the city. I was there for a few days. It was nice.
It's a nice
little
place
city,
for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I love it. Love it. But, you do all your songwriting and then you got to put it. You got to go out and play it, and then you got to record it, and then you got to go. Get that going. Do you have is something more near and dear to your heart than others?
Yeah. Not only do I have a favorite, I have a least favorite, and that's, I don't know, like, I really don't enjoy playing live that much at all. I love writing, and I love recording in the studio, but playing, it's one of those things where I feel like I just have to do. It's a little obligatory, and I find that I haven't played in like a month or so, and I find that the more I play, the more enjoyable it gets, and I think I just get nervous if I haven't played in a while. But when I was on tour, I started to enjoy it, but it's just one of those things that doesn't come as natural to me as like being an entertainer or a performer is it comes kind of second to for me.
Probably, I think when you're writing and recording, you can control your environment a lot.
That's I'm a control freak, Swoop. That's what you're telling me, and it's true.
So
you had that look.
But I'll throw it out there. You're talking about the new CD coming out. How's this different than the last one? You know, and how do you feel about this one versus the last one?
Right. When I came, the last CD was a acoustic EP, and I had been working on this full length album when I recorded that. I had this idea that I was running out of money, and I thought that I would make an acoustic EP, make a Kickstarter for that, and promote that to raise money to finish the full length album. So it's definitely different. The last EP was. It's just a stripped down four songs that are actually on this full length album, but so the new one is the quality's a lot better. It's full band orchestration. It's a full length album, I'm really proud of it. I've been working on it for about a year now, and I think it's really good.
You do the producing yourself, or you work with someone?
No, I worked with a guy named Martin Bill, and he actually lives here in Long Beach, so. Half of the year we were actually here in Long Beach recording at his house, so to finish it up.
Cool.
Now the upcoming tour, will it be with a band?
Well, no, actually, I just put the band together. We're going to be playing as a full band tonight in Costa Mesa at the Detroit Bar. But I play tomorrow night in Lake Elsinore at Flower Fusion, and then. In Texas at the end of the month, and we're just unable to tour with the full band right now, but hopefully one day, one of these days.
You know, I was just thinking, because we were talking to James Eday last week, and he said something similar about, you know, performing live, and he's, you know, if he was more comfortable at first with the keyboards. You need something to hide behind. That's it. You need to play the drums or something.
Yeah. And I think it's that and, I mean, if I was just singing, that would be horrible, man. Just like, the mic's not big enough to hide behind. And, but the guitar's better, and also a live band's better. I haven't played with a band in a long time, so I'll be playing with one tonight, and that'll be good, because at least the attention will be dispersed among, you know, four people rather than just all eyes on me, but... Which is weird, because I love attention, but apparently that's too much. I don't know.
I don't want it all. Yeah. Just most of it.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're standing up there, you're alone.
Yeah.
At least if you're up there with, you know, a band, at least, you know, you have buddies sort of thing. Camaraderie.
It's, right.
I know I wouldn't want to be up there. I wouldn't want to get up there with a band, let alone all by myself.
Yeah.
I love the attention.
That's why it's Swoop's World.
when you sit down to write, what inspires you?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is, I was talking to my friends about this the other day. Movies tend to I've talked to other songwriters, and they listen to a song and it inspires them to write they're like, oh, I heard this really cool song and I want to go and write one too. You know, I guess life, I mean, obviously life events, but I think normally when I actually sit down and write a song, it's after I've seen like a really good movie or I've seen some sort of, experienced some form of art, and I'm like, I get really inspired by that. It's not usually like, it's not like something bad happens and I'm like, oh, I gotta run to my house and write a song. It's usually after seeing a movie or listening to an album or something like that. But of course, when I'm writing the song, I draw from you know, stuff I've read and stuff I've experienced, stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you? Everybody's got different styles or different ways that things work for them.
Mm.
Do you sit down every day and say, I need to this time is set aside for writing, or this time is set aside for playing the music or rehearsing, or is it just kind of whatever time fits in for you?
No, but that sounds like a really good idea, and that sounds like something I should be doing. It sounds like that someone with, that's, I don't know, that, yeah, that sounds like a responsible songwriter. Sounds like they should do that. But, so I don't, no, I don't do that. I mean, lately I've been doing a lot of the business aspect of it, and promoting and like designing ads and just doing the social networking stuff, and it's really, it's kind of a drag. I would much rather be doing stuff like that, but I'm just trying to, I have a little bit of time, you know. I'm like working like 50 hours a week at the day job, so it's like I have a little bit of time, and you know, if I can write, I will, but right now trying to release an album, it's better for me to be on Facebook, you know, I think, than to be writing a song, which kind of sucks.
You, I like, I don't know if you did all the design and stuff, but I know your other album, where you're sitting in a chair, and I saw the cover, the new album. I just think they're really unique, and I really like them a lot. Did you design both of those?
No, I didn't actually. Yeah. The picture of me in the chair, I'm like dressed like Charlie Chaplin. That's a girl named Emily DeRoche from Texas. And the album cover, I was designed by Amy Hood out of Newport Beach of Chutzpah Arts and Graphics. But the only thing I can take credit for is just picking really good people to work with. Other than that, I can't take any credit for
that. The credit's credit, man.
Yeah. Especially when you're an independent artist.
Yes.
I mean, basically, you directed your people to produce, and then you oversaw it all. So, you know.
Perhaps, yeah.
That's the way you got to look at it.
Yeah.
Because as you're pointing out, you would
feed,
rather...
To feed my ego.
As you point out, you'd rather be writing songs and stuff.
Yeah, I know,
since
yeah.
Since you can't, and you're spending all your other time doing this other stuff, you got to take credit for that. Then,
yeah, that's
right?
True.
So, and, you know.
Well, that's one of the things that we talk to a lot of artists about, you know, the business side of the business side of the business. But it's even more so when you're an independent artist, because you know you can't rely so much on other people to direct your career or whatever you want to call it. You have to be hands on, much more so. And like you said, it takes up a lot of time. Do you just find that just a part of the gig, or does it annoy you, or is it something you enjoy doing?
I think part of it I enjoy. I mean, I just got done making press packets and sending them out, like with a CD, and it was like over 100 envelopes. So like writing out that kind of stuff and stuffing envelopes, that's not really fun. I guess it makes it worth it to like send stuff off and then to get some feedback or to see like the fruits of my labor. But other than that, it's not something that I wouldn't be an ad person. I wouldn't be like a work for a PR company. I would rather be making music, but it's not bad, I guess. I guess to answer your question, it's just something a part of it. It's just a part of the gig, I guess.
Yeah. You know, it's a part that a lot of people just don't understand, though. I mean, just from talking to people and you know, having to deal with creative people and not just music, but other parts of the arts, a lot of artists or creatives really don't understand that part of the business, and it's
how important that part is.
I think what it is, because I feel like I'm a middleman in between the two, because like I've obviously the art is the most important thing, but then again, like people aren't gonna really, I mean, the most people aren't gonna experience that art unless you do this other side. So I'm trying to be rational about it, but I can understand like an artist being apprehensive about it, because at first it makes you feel really gross. You're just like, this is something that's really special and personal to me, and then I gotta kind of like separate myself from it and then treat it like a product, and look at stats and charts and graphs and stuff like
demographics. How much do I charge? What can I afford?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin performs.
Schizophrenic,
and, you know,
man.
And Jay,
yeah.
The business guy.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, if you're gonna go this route, and you're, especially if you're like, I'm gonna make it as an independent artist, it's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You got to find a pile of money to pay all other people,
right?
And we know how often you find piles of money around. So, you know, you got, if this is your passion, that's what you want to do. That's the thing, that we, as we've seen a lot of times, is that's where the artists, a lot of time, and again, it doesn't matter what art they're doing, that's a lot of times where they stumble.
Right,
they
right.
just don't get it. And naturally, they're artists. They want to, I mean, they want to create art. That's what they want to be doing. They
yeah.
don't want to be doing this other crap. But you
yeah.
gotta, there's got to be that balance.
Yeah, that's true. I think I came to a point where I was like, I want to be creating art, but I'm not going to have as much time. If I don't do this like right now, if I don't do this work, this is kind of like to me, it's like an investment. Like I'm investing in kind of the future of my art, because I feel like this, I have some free time now, and if I don't do this work now, I may not be able to, you know, create art as much in the future. Like if this thing does take off, then obviously I'll have a lot more time to do it. If I don't put in the work, then, you know, I'll just get bogged down with my day job and just like
it's easy to get away from.
So it's one of those things where I feel like it's necessary for the survival of this thing, this art, you know.
Very cool. We're going to play another one. Do You Remember? Anything you want to say about that before we fire it up?
This one's it's track 3 on the album, and it's probably my favorite one. It's just a nice nostalgic tune about just growing up and friends, stuff
Very
like
cool.
that.
You're listening to the Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. Our guest is Justin Swallow, and this is called Do You Remember? Be back after this.
Do you remember when he punched through the wall? When he put the dip in wrong? How it made you feel to wake up all alone on the lawn? Were you watching when he kissed your ex-girlfriend? Did it make you feel sad? Did it make you feel better to spend the whole night with some friends? Some planes, don't get caught up in the game or get lost along the way, 'cause I hate to see you go. Maybe one day when I'm back in my home state, we can talk about those days and how the years just wash away all the pain we used to know. Been wrong, how it made you feel to wake up all alone on the lawn.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. So many comments on my comment.
Hey, guys, check out my
Wait.
New video game.
Mom, what?
Huh?
Pew, pew.
What'd you say?
This
huh?
weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Hey,
everybody. Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Talk Story Radio.
Hello, this is James Eday from the Dub Rock Duo. Just wanted to let you know that you're listening to Swoop's World.
Everybody's waiting for a better day, a better day. Welcome back to Swoop's World of the Talk Show Radio Network. Our guest is Justin Swallow. And we just heard, what did we hear?
Do you remember?
Yeah. And that's on the new CD, right? Mm-hmm. So very, very cool. when you did the build up to the CD, and then you're saying you're mailing out press kits and all those kind of things, you got a couple gigs lined up. Obviously you've been doing this for a while, but how did you learn to figure out what steps to, because time is precious.
Yeah.
And you could get, I mean, just the shit we do for the show, sometimes you get bogged down here, and I've been on, Twitter too long, or the day's gone, because I didn't accomplish all the things I needed to accomplish. How do you figure out how to be the most productive for your efforts?
I'm definitely not organized, not that organized. I don't know. It's a lot of guesswork, I guess, and I don't even know if I'm being that that efficient. But the only thing I can say is I keep a to-do list on my phone, and then I just try to do it. And I think it's not really hard for me to get bogged down on the social networking, because I'm on there a lot. But I'm really sick of it, so. I get on there and I do what I have to do, and then I get off of it. So, I don't know. I wish I knew. I keep thinking about, I'm going to get organized. Like you were talking about earlier, I'm going to set aside an hour to do this, an hour to do that. But I don't think I'll ever do that. I mean, to be honest with you. And I think it works without it for now. So. I'm getting something done. I'm getting stuff done. I don't know how.
Don't worry. I have the same way. I try to. Mondays for this hour is going to be dedicated to this part of the. No. Monday goes by and I go, I was going to do whatever. Yeah. All right. I'm stuck on this for too long. What, do you ever. Yeah, you work with a band for part of this, but. Do you ever collaborate, or do you write? Do you ever work with anybody else, or are you mostly kind of a solo thing?
I would say it's mostly solo. I mean, especially with the meat of the song, or the lyrics, and just me on acoustic guitar, most of the song. Is me and but I think of it as a collaboration, because with the with this album it was very much a collaboration between me and the producer Marty Beal. He did a lot of the instrumentation. He played like banjo and mandolin, bass, and we programmed the drums, and so he did a lot of the arranging, and then I helped him with that as well. The live act is kind of a collaboration as well. But I think the most of it. I wouldn't feel very comfortable, saying it's Justin Swallow if most of it wasn't, me, I guess.
Okay. When you talk about the producers, a lot of times we ask this question about how important is the producer, and is it hard to find a producer that's the right fit for you?
I think in general it probably is. I lucked out because I knew that. I mean, I've produced my own stuff before, and it just doesn't come out. I mean, it's the songs are good, but the producer really kind of helps you to just polish it up and make it to where more people like. I enjoy stuff that I produce, but I don't know if anyone else would. But Marty helped to Well, first of all, yeah, it wasn't... some people... It is good to... Well, I lucked out because I called... Marty was the first person I called. I was like, I'm not going to produce this. I want to do an album, but I know that I can't do a full-length album and make it sound that good. So I'm gonna call a bunch of studios, and I picked the cheapest one, and that was Marty. Hey, Marty.
He's the least expensive.
Least expensive, yes. Quality, not cheap at all. Yeah, so I lucked out, and we did one song together. He was just free of charge, and it sounded really good, and we were on the same page. We have a similar sensibility. We're both kind of mellow and like similar music, and he's been doing it for years. I mean, he's been doing this for a long time. So he brought like a real a lot of talent and real maturity to my songs, which I think could have easily come off maybe never mind. I was about to be really self-deprecating.
It seems like a lot of times, any art, but music especially, you played it, you listen to it, you listen to it over and over and over, and you lose objectivity. And you need a producer type of person to sort of step in and go, okay, this is good, but maybe if we tweaked it this way. Because it seems like you would get just kind of bogged down. Mm-hmm. You would need that sort of outside to be able to do that for you.
That's a great point. Yeah, no, that's definitely what he does. I've tried in the past to just work by myself, and I think that's what that's why I wanted to get a producer this time, because I haven't done anything in a long time, and I just don't think I can do anything by myself, because also working with someone, not only do they bring objectivity to it, but they also bring us, they kind of give me confidence. If I just did it by myself, maybe one day I'll be able to record an album by myself and just be really confident in it, but now I kind of need that collaboration. Even if it's not in the songwriting process, the producing process, I definitely need that collaboration.
Now, you were saying off there that you're going to be going a couple places to play to kind of an album release, and you'll be headed back home to Texas. Have you played there in a while? And what is it like playing in front of the hometown crowd?
Hometown. I played there back in December, so almost a year ago. But this will be the second time so I'm averaging once a year, I guess. It's fun. It's cool. It's because it's like I'm going back and I'm hanging and I get to hang out with the crowd's mainly a bunch of people that I've known and all my life. So it's really fun. And I'm going back to Texas this time to my sister's getting married. So I'm flying in, playing a show, and then the rest of the weekend I'll be doing brotherly activities. And it's fun. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be a good time. Yeah.
Very cool. Do you have a favorite? You don't have to name it. I don't want to upset other venues, but a favorite type of venue that you like to play at?
Yeah. I like coffee shops. A lot better. I mean, I don't mind playing in CD dive bars, but I'm kind of used to it now, just being there. But I'd much rather be in like this place I'm playing in, Lake Elsinore. It's kind of weird, and when I tell people I'm playing in Lake Elsinore, they're like, "Why would unless you're going to pick up meth? Why are you in Lake Elsinore?" But really, I like the town, and I got introduced to this place called Flower Fusion, and I really like playing there. And it's not just the venue; the people there are just really attentive, and they're not overly drunk. It's just really cool. It has a small town vibe, so maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
To go back to the, it kind of reminds me of home. So I guess I like that.
We talked to a lot of singer songwriters, and I think that. Because of the style of music and it's very kind of an intimate feeling, that places that specialize in listening room types, coffee houses usually fit that bill, seem to be a good fit, because when you're talking about like bars and there's people want to hear a lot of covers and they're drinking and they're really not paying attention to the act a lot of times, it's got to be kind of frustrating especially if you're doing acoustic stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and that's and that's why I probably wouldn't have. I like having a band, but I probably wouldn't have felt like I needed to unless, I just knew that when people go to a venue like the one I'm playing tonight, the Detroit Bar, Costa Mesa, they kind of want to hear like a beat and they want to hear a live band, and I understand that it's a lot more interesting. But yeah, I'd much rather you hit the nail right in the head. I'd much rather be in like a listening room environment.
Yeah. Talking to a lot of people recently that are doing a lot of house parties. Have you been doing any of those?
No, but yeah, it's not a new thing, but I listen to some kind of more mid-level acts, like this guy named David Bazan from Pedro the Lion, the band Pedro the Lion, and he'll do house shows. He goes on a tour and he like sets up these shows and he packs houses, and no, that's a cool idea. I mean, that'd be a nice thing to just do acoustic things. Yeah. With
when you were playing a lot of places, and I know you're booking gigs and stuff like that, you ever kind of see who else is on the bill first, or do you kind of know that in advance, or do you just show up and go, oh my god, we're not a good fit at all?
Well, you know, I've played more shows this past year than I played in the last few years combined, so I've been playing a lot of shows, and I've just come to expect that I'm going to be on a bill with a metal band and a Christian rap artist, and I'm going to be somewhere in the middle. But I just expect it, and it's just a treat when I can kind of be matched up, and I don't really headline shows, so I don't really have any control over that. So, but releasing the album's giving me a little bit of control. I get to choose. For the most part, who I'm playing with. So, you know, like these shows that I'll be playing, the album release shows, they're all kind of similar. We're all kind of mellow, acoustic-driven singer-songwriter stuff.
So you don't have to, you know, wait for people to pick up the broken instrument parts. Yeah. And they smash the stage.
Yeah, right.
Blew out everybody.
Yeah. Well, we're going to play another one. We're going to play I Never Lie.
To you. That was a case of bad file naming. It's just it's called I'd Never Lie to You.
Okay. I'd Never Lie to You. It's to you I'd never lie to. These other folks. I'd never lie to you.
I guess I got lazy when I was making that file name, so sorry.
All right. I'll fix it.
Yeah.
So don't believe all the flatteries are true.
Check out my new time machine.
Does it work?
Hit the button.
Hey, it's Napoleon.
Oui.
Check out the future.
Hey, you have a nice house. Why don't I?
You didn't save any money, buddy.
If only there was a way I could go back in time and fix that.
Yeah.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Why would you say
this is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hello, this is Normandy Wilson, and you're listening to Snoop's World.
I don't know what else you got going on, but no one pays for sure. You got me thinking about what...
And welcome back to the Snoop's World on Talk Story Radio Network. We're here every Thursday for Snoop's World Prime Time. We're here on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Time for Snoop's World Late Night. Next week on Late Night, the Heat Seekers come in and back into the studio to treat us with their what do we call it, what they do? They play jingles.
Not jingles. They play, and it's not show tunes.
No,
it's title songs.
Yeah, title songs like Gilligan's Island,
Hawaii 5-0,
Peter
Gunn
theme songs.
Yeah.
Theme songs. There you go. That's the best description. And
that sounds awesome.
They do it well. It's like you forget. Like a lot of times, there's some really good songs in that.
Charles in Charge.
So there's some other ones that are you'd rather not hear again. Especially the older ones. They seem to put more time, as we talked about.
They do
more
a good job, and they do a really good version of Girl from Ipanema.
Ah, yeah, they do that. That's fun. So
check them out next week on Primetime. Author Marcy Jarville will be joining us. I believe she's calling in, so we'll have her there. But today we're happy to have Justin Swallow with us, and it's always a good time having you here, Justin. So, we talked about all the social media stuff and all the things like that, but how do people actually connect with you and find your music?
I guess the easiest route is justinswallow.com. Which will take you straight to my Bandcamp, and right now, I'll probably take it down Saturday, but for a couple more days, you can go to justinswallow.com and listen to the full album, just stream it, and then after, on Saturday, I'll take the streaming capability off, and you can buy it if you want, if you're into
you
that.
You can buy it now. You can stream it and go, I love this,
and then buy
I
it.
Need to buy it.
That's right. You can do that. I'd be okay with that.
Definitely. I just boom went away.
you need a nap, Swoop.
I do.
I think we talked about this.
It's late night Wednesdays and getting up early and coming right back.
The turnaround.
Exactly. That's what's killing me. There's so many places that artists can put their music. You got CD Baby. You got iTunes. You got Bandcamp and all these different things. Did you find that one works better for you than the others?
I like Bandcamp better, and I guess I like things. I like them all for different reasons. I'm kind of not liking iTunes.
They take the biggest chunk out, right?
They do take the biggest chunk, and I don't know. Bandcamp. I like Spotify. I don't get paid for Spotify, but it's cool for like just the accessibility. And if you want to go stream the album when it comes out, you can go stream it on there. But Bandcamp, I get to keep most of the money, which is good. But also I have control over my band page. iTunes, I put it on there just because a lot of people aren't really savvy to the other stuff, and iTunes is the standard. But hopefully one day I don't have to do iTunes anymore.
You know, we were talking. We had a conversation off air about that last night, and you know, the thing about iTunes is just generates so much more traffic than all everybody else right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, that's everybody. That's their go to. It's like everybody searches with Google, and there's all kinds of other search engines out there. But you know, that's the go to thing because it's got so much play. So. But just the visual aspect. I've seen the ones on Bandcamp. I thought I seemed to like the way they look, but now that you're saying you have control over your page.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to Sound. Let's see,
SoundCloud.
It's ugly.
It is. Yeah. SoundCloud's more of a I've learned it's more like a industry thing. Like if you wanna send someone your songs like a stream, it's kind of like the industry standard. It's not really the commercial standard. I use that one too. I'm on all of it, but and I guess all of it has its place.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. It's all about finding your audience. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know how that's gonna happen. You gotta put it out there.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we try to cover a lot of things, with you every time you're here. Is there anything that we haven't discussed yet that you'd like to talk about?
I'd like to give a plug for the for a video. I'm trying to get people to watch this video that I did for the song that you just heard, I'd Never Lie to You. Me and my friend Jeremiah Marsh did that video, I edited it, and it looks pretty good. It looks better than any video I've ever done. So you can just go to youtube.com/JustinSwallowMusic and it'll be the first one that comes up. Other than that, I guess that's it.
How'd you like that process?
I mean, when I was a kid, it's like I always wanted to make movies. Or I always wanted to tell a story, and like songwriting is kind of like a cheaper, like easier way to tell a story than to make a movie. But I've always really been interested in doing film, so it was fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, when you sat down to edit it and stuff like that, the process of editing film, because we stream video, and then I have to edit clips and put some up on YouTube and stuff. I enjoy it, but the amount of time it takes to upload, the video from the camera or from wherever it's saved I do it on an iMovie, it's like hours before I can actually start working on it. Right now, by then, I'm like, I don't feel like working on it now.
Right. I know. And that's actually, it seems like that it takes longer to upload the video than it does to edit it.
Easily.
Yeah, I can see that.
When it comes to, the whole editing process, do you enjoy doing, when you're in your recordings? Going back and doing, engineering stuff like that and tweaking little things. And I don't know how you record it. Do you record separate, tracks and then kind of do it all together?
We multi-track. And, Marty did all the editing on this, or most of it. On a couple, there's a couple tracks that I didn't even think about this, but that I actually produced, just a couple instrumental tracks. I enjoy it. I enjoy editing. It's kind of a tedious process, but it's kind of cool to. I don't know why. It's kind of relaxing to edit video or edit the tracks. I just kind of like it.
Yeah. Well, it's when you're like I said, when it's your career and you kind of touched on all aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be somewhat rewarding to to see things happen, knowing that you. I did that. I did this. I did that. I mean, it's I'm sure it's equally as rewarding to have a finished product and other people have helped you on. But learning the entire process for anything, no matter what you do in life, I think when you understand all the things that go into whatever your job is, you're so much further ahead than the next guy, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's that, and I just don't think I would. I don't know. I'm just the kind of person that I wouldn't feel quite. I wouldn't feel quite as attached to the project if I wasn't all up in it. Like even when Marty's editing and stuff, I like to be over his shoulder and just kind of like being.
Why'd you do that?
Does Marty?
Yeah, what's that? What's that?
Does Marty like that?
Yeah. And I learned with Marty, he's just been doing this for so much longer. I would like anytime I would. Like he'd be editing, and I feel like, oh, I'm not really a part of this. And then I'll be like, so I would just say, well, what's that? Can you undo that? And then anytime I would question what he did and, like, get him to try out something I did, it just would sound really bad. And I was like, okay, you know, Marty, I guess I'll trust you on this. And it turned out a lot better than it would have been. So as much as I like to be all up in the project, you know, I'm learning to let go. Control. I'm just a control freak.
Well, Justin, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and you know, all the best to you. Good luck on this new CD, and hope it goes platinum. Man.
Oh, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We want to thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. That's going to do it for us today. We're going to be back Wednesday with the Heat Seekers, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. right here on Talk Story Radio Network. Until then, you got any final words up here?
Not today.
I think we're all out of words today, man. Until then, have a safe, wonderful, and if you're in the Southern California area, a cool weekend, man.
Good luck with that. It's supposed to be hotter this weekend.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.